All right, a lot of talk about helmets after Philip Hughes and everything that's gone with it has been distressing. We're waiting for some good news. He's still probably 24, 48 hours away from knowing the full extent of the bleeding on the brain and whatnot. But helmets have come into question. I don't think bouncers have come into question. It's part of the sport. It will continue to be a part of a bowler's armoury. But when it comes to helmets, Albion C&D or Albion Sports have been making a very good quality helmet for a long time. Brendan Denning is the CEO of Albion. He joins us now. G'day, Brendan.
G'day, Michael. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, mate. Oh, no problem. We just want to get to the design of the helmet. You guys have done a wonderful job over the years. You were the number one helmet with Cricket Australia for many, many years, and that's when I was playing. Where do you see the development now? Is it where you would like to see it?
Look, I think the first thing I've got to say, Michael, is I almost wish I wasn't talking to you guys this morning.
No, because sure,
it's
true.
It's through horrible circumstances that it's come into people's thinking. And I've said it a few times in the last day or so, but look, if there's a positive we can try and find in what's happened to Philip, is that it's shining a light on what the issues are around cricket helmets. And I think realistically, the lack of development in cricket helmets. I mean, I'd probably say to you, Michael, think back to the helmets that you wore when you were playing, and you pick up one today. You know, how visible are the differences to someone like yourself, other than probably some weight and materials and so forth? But essentially, it's a very, very similar design being retained for a very long time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In fact, there was a design change through my career, and it went from the old sort of fiberglass or whatever the old mould was made out of to the more plastic helmet that you guys made, and they were a lot lighter, but I recall that helmet being a lot higher at the back, which is what we're talking about here with Philip.
Yeah, that's a great observation. The thing is, ICC have spent a lot of time and effort in the last couple of years in identifying the three most common injuries that batsmen suffer from, and have tried to get national associations, manufacturers, players to become more conscious and more aware of those particular issues in sport, and that has led to an update of a British cricket helmet standard. But that's again, that's specifically a British standard that we're seeing unveiled at the moment. But you know, it's a long way to go between writing a new standard and actually implementing it. And I think that's probably a bigger challenge that we're going to have, not just in Australia, but globally, is that what can we be doing to ensure that players, both at the elite end and the grassroots end of the scale, are wearing the most up-to-date protective equipment to ensure that it's the right protective equipment.
Sure.
I'd love for you guys to take a straw poll of your listeners this morning. When was the last time any of your cricket-playing audience bought a new cricket helmet? Because a lot of our research suggests that, you know, it's once every 8 to 10 years. And if I had a dollar for every time someone had said, I still had my Albion from 15, 20 years ago, it's a really an amazing occurrence in terms of how far cricket equipment has come and how much we're willing to go and update our bats and the shoes and everything else. It's I think the helmets have lagged behind in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I guess that a bit of that, Brendan, is just if you found one that was comfortable enough, you stuck with it because you found it to be comfortable. I want to ask you though, and it was a surprise to us that part of the back of the head was as vulnerable as it's turned out to be for Philip Hughes and the injury that actually came from it, unfortunately. So I imagine you guys would have people putting new design technology to you all the time. Is that the case or not the case?
It's absolutely the case, but I'll be very, very frank with you. And the willingness for the cricket consumer to embrace that kind of change probably makes us question how much time and effort you do put the R&D into the cricket helmet.
Sure, fair enough.
We probably spend most of our time and resources currently working on horse racing, equestrian, cycling, and collision sports, because those sports already do recognise the inherent risk of playing or participating in that sport. Whereas I think we've still got some cultural factors to overcome in recognising that, unfortunately, this can happen. And what's happened to Philip is, sort of ranked, if you want to rank what happens, in the top three of injuries that that batsmen can suffer from.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So that high, okay.
That's very interesting. So I dare say, Brendan, the manufacturer who comes out with the next design helmet with some sort of protection through that area will be setting the new standard, and that will be probably the helmet that majority will use.
That sounds good in theory, Michael, okay. and everyone would love to be that manufacturer. We introduced something as far back as 5 years ago, which addressed a lot of risks and really was a big step forward in terms of the design and the nature of cricket helmets. And we just couldn't get the players to embrace it. So therefore you sort of revert back to the more traditional look and feel. Yes, you update the materials involved and some of the structures involved, but we're only now seeing other manufacturers also trying to sort of really update the technology there, and it's a battle because there's a lot of tradition in the sport of cricket, and we've all got to keep finding ways to get the cricketers to be more ready to endorse and take aboard some of those innovations that I think we can actually offer.
Brendan, I don't know if you know. I mean, the ICC have handed down the latest standard that needs to be met by helmet manufacturers. It's not implemented in Australia just yet. Do you know what they're saying?
In terms of the standard?
Yes. I think they've come up with something, a new standard.
Essentially, it involves some projectile testing, it copies a lot from what baseball have been doing for a long time now. So, firing a ball out of a cannon, which ultimately is what a bowler is doing every time he runs into to let one go at the batsman. Up until now, the standards just really didn't reflect what happens on a cricket pitch. So the new standard that's being rolled out in the UK very much addresses the ball going in between your face guard and the peak of the helmet, and also impacts directly to the face guard. It doesn't necessarily do anything yet to better protect the rear of the head, unfortunately. So, okay. I mean, it's a work in progress. I think the step that we've got to try and embrace here in Australia, and I've had these discussions with Cricket Australia for many, many years, is how can we actually ensure that all the players comply? I'll go back quickly to equestrian. You can't get on a horse to compete anywhere unless your helmet is no more than 4 years old and has all the standards ticks on it, if you like.
Right.
The trouble is, how are we going to implement that in a cricket environment? I stand and coach an umpire under 11s on a Friday night. Is it that difficult for me to check the kids' helmets when they come out? It's probably not in the wake of what we're going through at the moment with Philip. Maybe we just need to sort of address some of those priorities and say, well, maybe we just need to take a moment, as other sports have found ways to do, to make sure that people are wearing the correct protective equipment.
Okay. My question to you, Brendan, is do you have a helmet and can you have a helmet that would have protected Phil Hughes and players like Phil Hughes with that vulnerable part of the back of the head?
My response there, TK, is that I think some helmets already do it much better than others.
Right.
What we're trying to do is eliminate the risk.
Sure.
We can't, I guess, predict everything. And it's what we do as a protective equipment manufacturer, is try and reduce the likelihood. We've actually been having, quite ironically, discussions about baseball helmet design in recent times, because, there are a lot of parallels between a batting stance in baseball and a batting stance in cricket. Yes, one, my bat's over my shoulder and the other, the bat's on the ground, but there are parallels. And baseball, I would argue, has started a long way behind us and has probably not only caught up, but has now probably moved ahead of cricket in terms of what they're doing with not only helmet design, but also ensuring and enforcing standards amongst players, including the adult population. So I definitely think there's some room for improvement, but at the same time, it's always a consultation with the players. Because you can't go and design something that nobody wants to wear, and we've experienced that ourselves.
Yeah, no, I remember the pushback when there was a change in design, and it was that that plastic style helmet that you came out with. Can I ask, what's the main material that is used to make them these days?
It's in our helmet range. It's either carbon fibre, which is obviously very light and very strong. A lot of helmets are made of polypropylene, which is probably a fancy name for plastics. We've actually started bringing a lot of our manufacturing back to Australia at present, and so we are starting to move into some other sort of advanced materials. Again, the question remains as to how much of that knowledge and the technology we can apply to cricket, because of people's, you know, what's the preparedness to spend and upgrade on a new cricket helmet. I think it's, yeah, that is a challenge that all the manufacturers will continue to face.
Is the message still, I remember doing a cricket show story many moons ago with you guys, and on testing with the metal ball or the makeshift ball that came down, hit, good, little bit of splintering, second hit almost went through the helmet. So out there, I don't think people understand that if you actually have a full-on hit, your helmet's done its job. Is it still the case that then you go out and buy another one?
For a lot of styles and a lot of materials, that's probably the standard rule to follow, Michael.
Yeah.
We've experimented with even putting, if you like, damage indicators inside helmets, so that perhaps if you did get a knock, something, you know, a little paint dye or something like that might explode on your hair, a water-based dye or something like that.
Yeah.
But then the cricketers will turn to me and say, yeah, but every time I get out for single figures, I walk into the change rooms and throw my helmet on.
Yeah, well, that's something you shouldn't do.
Right? There's challenges within the sport, and that's no different to other sports as well. There's specifics that we've got to try and find that balance. Yeah, I think again, jockeys and people involved in horse racing, you know, they understand that it is life and death every time they get on the back of a racehorse, and the attention and detail they pay to their protective equipment and the checks that are conducted by stewards and the regulations. And I mean, it really does set a good example potentially for sports like cricket, I think.
Brendan, well said, mate. It's nice to hear from you. Obviously, as you said at the start, we wish we weren't talking to you because there is a young man fighting for his life. But thank you for the information.
No, thanks very much, guys. And all our wishes, just like everybody who I know has been calling the show and the outpouring of support and emotion for Philip. And we really, really just hope we'll hear some good news in the next couple of days.
Good on you, mate.